A new documentary called Joan Rivers, A Piece of Work, follows the comedian through an entire year, from stand-up dates in the Midwest through her victory on the reality show Celebrity Apprentice, and it shows her to be one of the hardest-working performers in show business. The film was made by Ricky Stern and Annie Sundberg, and it opens this Friday, June 11th, at Lincoln Plaza, IFC Center, Clearview, Chelsea, and City Cinemas. And I'm very pleased that it brings Joan Rivers and Ricky Stern to our show today. Hi.
And we're delighted to be here.
And Joan,
we even paid our own way.
I hope it's okay to mention that it was your birthday yesterday. Happy birthday.
Let's not discuss it. Your birthday gift to me, we could just say my show, How'd You Get So Rich, is having its season finale tonight at 10 o'clock on TV Land. So that's your gift to me that I can say that on your show.
The day after your birthday.
Yeah, tonight.
Ricky, this seems to be an unusual project for you. You're probably best known for The Devil Came on Horseback, about the genocide in Darfur, and The Trials of Daryl Hunt, about a wrongful conviction. Did you see what was happening to Joan's career as a miscarriage of justice?
No, I think it was just about death. We're waiting. Joan says that we make movies all about death.
And all about death.
This was going to be Joan. Joan just didn't cooperate. She didn't die in the year that we were filming her. We always thought that would, Joan said that would be the perfect ending.
Wouldn't that be a great ending? Get the last year of a comedian and have them die on camera. But I'm hoping that, I'm not making a joke, that if I am diagnosed with something, which we all will sooner or later be, that they'll come back and film that last year. Because I think it would be great to show.
So you can call Joan Rivers a piece of work, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Everything right now in the movie theaters is two or three, isn't it?
Yeah.
So did you know each other before you started working on this?
We did. My parents know Joan very well. And I'd only met you about two times, I think, very briefly. So I really didn't know her personally that well. But I knew of her early work, and I thought that Joan was really someone that the younger generation really didn't understand. They didn't realize how groundbreaking she was for women in comedy and how funny she is. Her comedy that she does in these small acts as her warm-up to her bigger shows is so cutting-edge and so raw and really contemporary for younger generation.
So what did you think when you were approached? Did you like the idea?
I go for anything. And I know it sounds stupid, but, and I'm very friendly with her mother. I thought, why not? You know, I didn't realize, I never thought this would happen, which is that it's become this wonderful documentary that we're getting all these amazing accolades and reviews and awards. And I just thought it'd be fun to have them follow around. And I liked that they had come from a serious place, that Ricky, you know, wasn't looking to do like a puff piece with six people saying, oh, she's wonderful, that you couldn't care less, you know.
But was there any negotiation about what you could or couldn't show, Ricky?
No, actually, Joan was incredibly open. And there were times when her assistant would say, you can't go to this meeting. And I just would have to go to Joan. And Joan would say, absolutely, you have to come to this meeting. It was really more about if she said something, because it was 14 months uncensored, if she said something that was off the cuff, kind of funny about someone that she thought they would take it personally and be insulted, and if there's anything slanderous or libel that she might say off the cuff.
On the other hand, you don't always come across in the best light in this film. I would have thought there were times when you'd say, oh, gee, can we take that out?
Then don't do a documentary. You know what I'm saying? There are rules to every single thing you do in life. And the rules for me, if you're doing a documentary, it's got to be true to life. And you shouldn't be just Pollyanna walking around giving flowers out to poor people.
Well, the film opens with a close-up of your face before you put on makeup.
Yeah.
Some people would consider that very
brave. There goes those marriage proposals.
and these people follow you around in a way that I know I would have felt it was intrusive to have people with me pretty much all throughout every day.
But then don't have them do a documentary on you. You understand? When I go on Regis and Kelly, I know we're going to do little happy pieces about whatever, you know, going to the beach in the summer.
And you come here and you know we're going to talk about Martin Buber.
Yes, we're going to.
And Kierkegaard.
And that's every different aspect of things that you choose has its rules. And the rules for documentary are, with Ricky especially, the woman's son Darfur, for God's sakes, you know, you want to do it, you could show anything you want to.
When you began your career, there weren't a lot of women working in comedy. And a lot of the current female comics like Kathy Griffin and Sarah Silverman cite you as a role model. But throughout the film, you seem to see yourself as being in direct competition.
Totally.
Isn't there enough room in the field for all of you and few more women?
No. And do you feel there's enough room in your field to be generous and say, why don't you take another show to some wonderful man of your age and let's do them together? Of course not. It's all competition.
Well, the difference is probably I'd be afraid to say in public what I think about some of the competition.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're not.
No, but I just, if Kathy or Sarah gets a job, it's one job less for me. And yet I'm friendly with both of them. That's the joke. I really like both of them.
Well, they're both terrific talents. And they do cite you as role models, and you can see it in their work. But did you have role models?
Lenny Bruce.
Uh-huh. So many comics would cite Lenny Bruce. Because he really did change comedy.
He changed comedy. He changed what you were allowed to talk about. He stood up there and talked about it and got arrested for it.
Did you see yourself as a serious actress at first? I remember you talked on the show about appearing in a straight play with Barbara Streisand early in your career, although I'm not sure I can call it straight.
Yeah. We played two lesbian lovers. But, yeah, always an actress. Always thought of myself as an actress.
If you had been Barbara, would you have gotten the nose job she famously refused to get?
Absolutely. But I think it's been thinned.
But it didn't hurt her career.
No, it didn't hurt her career, and she was very strong about it and had great style. And but I would have preferred to be prettier.
Now
it didn't hurt Barbara at all.
Well, she sings through her nose. Oh, I shouldn't have said that.
Yeah, that's okay.
Well, the article in New York Magazine was Joan Rivers always knew she was funny, but you originally thought of yourself just as an actress. When did you realize that comedy was your strength?
Never. My family's always been funny. My father was a funny doctor. I mean, he's a wonderful doctor, but he made his patients laugh. My sister's a lawyer, but she makes her clients laugh. My family's funny. And comedy has always been the way we've coped with everything in life. But I never realized it was my strength. I think my strength is just perseverance.
And you're funny. Joan Rivers, Joan Rivers, a piece of work, is opening. What did I say
it's
before?
It's Friday.
This Friday, this coming Friday, in a number of theaters. It's been in a lot of film festivals, not the sort of thing that we would think of in connection with a film like this. What's been the response? You've been at Sundance, at the U.S. Documentary Editing. You won the U.S. Documentary Editing Award there. Mm-hmm. You had the True False Film Festival, the Tribeca Film Festival, the Boston Independent Film Festival, San Francisco International.
Yes. Lesbian and Gay Film Festival
tonight. New Fest at SVA Theater in New York. It's been amazing. I think it was very surprising for all of us. You know, you make a documentary and you sit in an editing room for months and you don't know if it's good or bad. You have no idea. And I think Joan, I don't even know if Joan likes it. We can ask Joan. But I think there was a lot of concern. And then when it got into Sundance, you start to feel a little bit better. And then it's really been playing so well to the audiences. And I think that's what's so rewarding.
You include a lot of clips from Joan's early career. Were they easy to get?
No. Sadly, a lot of that old footage was on film, and it just hasn't been preserved properly. And so I would have liked to put more in, but we were really trying to make it a verite documentary that took you on. Because Joan has had bios done about her. So people have said, why isn't there more about her history or her family? But it was deliberately not in there because we really wanted to focus on who Joan is now.
But there, you do see yourself working at an earlier time. I wonder if you even remembered some of those bits.
Some of the bits I remember. Some of the bits I go, I don't like the way. I'm not a fan of the way I perform. So I don't like a lot of the bits on Sullivan. Also, I'm pregnant always on Sullivan. It looks like I'm the biggest, fattest pig you've ever seen in New York.
Did he just book you when you were pregnant? Is that the
rule? No, but he booked me so often. And the clips that Ricky chose, a lot of them are pregnant, so it looks like Joan was just a hefty girl.
Well, one thing that we see is how daring some of your material was. Jokes about abortion,
yeah,
for example. Did people warn you to stay away from those kinds of topics?
People warned me from the beginning, you can't say this, you can't say that, and continue to warn me. And I love it when I do a show and out of 100%, 4% really walk out offended. Because, you know, that's good. We're on the edge here.
But when you became the permanent guest host for Johnny Carson, yeah, I'm sure they wouldn't have been all that happy if 4% were walking out every night.
No, but again, those are the rules you played with on the Carson show. And every monologue was vetted. Every monologue was vetted. And yet I still managed to sneak in questions that I was able to. Not so much the monologues to me were throwaways on the Carson show.
Yeah, but it's all about the ad-libbing on a show like
but
that.
But it was
anyway,
the ad-libbing, and it was who I could ask a good question to.
And it's interesting that we do not have any women working in late-night television other than Chelsea Handler, and she's on cable on the E! Network. It's not a network show. And you have to wonder why.
I think it's a very masculine job. People like to see a man behind a desk. And if you look at the women that really work behind a desk, they're lesbians. Ellen, lesbian. You got to have strength.
Rosie.
Rosie, strong. I'm very strong. I'm not gay, but I sure could be a lesbian in a hot second. I'm very strong. And that's what works in that. You've got to be the lion tamer in those jobs.
I've always wondered what held me back in this business. It's because I'm not a lesbian.
You're not a lesbian.
In the film, you say that after you got your own show and had to quit Johnny's show, he never spoke to you again?
Never.
For the rest of his life?
The rest of his life, my darling. My husband, he had introduced me. I had met Edgar through Johnny Carson. They were good friends. When Edgar committed suicide, never wrote a note. He was a very cold man.
Because he, as far as I was concerned, he was the best.
No question about it. But now we're talking private. Johnny Carson fed you a straight line like nobody else could. Johnny Carson knew when to go for the joke, when to hold back. Johnny Carson, when you hear about Burns and Allen and how he was such a great man, or Abbott and Costello and how Abbott was such a great man, I got it when I met Johnny Carson. He was a genius at saying, how fat was she? And he knew when to say it, and he knew when to hold. Nobody was like him.
He also knew how to listen, which is rare in that business where so many people, you almost see some of them moving their lips, formulating the joke.
Or getting ready for the next question.
In the film, we see you appearing at a casino in Wisconsin and other out-of-the-way places, and you seem to work practically around the clock, flying from one place to the next. How many public appearances do you generally do in a year?
As often as they ask me. I do about three a week. I'll be gone three nights a week. So times 150 probably a year.
And in the film, you kind of complain that you're not getting as many offers as you did in the past.
Kind of complain? Complain.
Well, you complain. You're in your mid-70s. Yeah. Don't people slow down a little bit? After all, you can relax a little bit and still pick and choose the shows that you want to do.
But I love the work, and I don't feel the need to slow down. I don't get up and go, oy, I got to get dressed. I don't have any of that pressure yet where I say, gee, I'd really like to stay home. My thing is, gotta go, gotta get to London. This is gonna be fun.
In the film, there's a moment where you do a Helen Keller joke, and a man says, "I have a deaf son."
Yeah.
How do you deal with something like that?
The way I think I dealt, you have a deaf son, he's got to deal with it, doesn't he? And not be so upset about it. And not be so touchy and on edge and so raw about that. And I think if you went home and laughed with your son about it, it would make a much happier atmosphere in the house.
Well, political correctness is something that every comic has to deal with. And some build their whole styles on being politically incorrect, don't they?
And what is so terrible, Lenny Bruce, back to him, went around an audience and said, and get ready to bleep, You're a Polack, you're a kike, you're a nigger, you're a wop, you're a mick. Everybody's something, so who cares?
We see a bit about you with your daughter in the film. When you both appeared on Celebrity Apprentice, you were competing against each other, and yeah. She got fired and you won. Was that awkward?
No, because she got fired at number 11 out of 14. So she was right there to the last three, and then she got sandbagged a little bit. No, I thought she was terrific.
Ricky, were you pleased? After all, you knew Joan wasn't going to die at the end of the film, as you you kind of joked. But this was a nice kind of a victory. It's because in documentaries, you always hope that you're going to build to something positive.
Well, you know, actually, people ask me that. What if she hadn't won Celebrity Apprentice? I think it could have just been – it would have been a great film, and it would have maybe had more of a bittersweet ending. It would have been – Joan would have been, maybe had more of her status quo career that was coming along but didn't have a little perk at the end. And I think people like it that she won at the end because by the end of the movie, you're rooting for her, and it gives you a little bit of a Hollywood ending. But if she hadn't won, we would have just – I mean, we were supposed to follow her play all the way to New York, and we just had to adapt.
So you've done a film about Darfur, a film about wrongful conviction, a film about Joan Rivers. Where do you go
that's
from
quite a
here?
Resume, huh?
Where do you go from here?
We're looking now. I don't know. I actually would love to do another film about a performer because the world of a performer, someone who really works at performing, is a unique world. And great.
And my staff wants to know, Joan, do you ever turn any job down?
No.
Not
really. No, if it's going to be any kind, you don't know what door is going to open. What if I had said to Ricky, "Oh, I don't think I'll do a documentary." Look where it led to. You don't know what the balloon is going to be that stays up.
The film opens this Friday at the Lincoln Plaza, the IFC Clearview Chelsea, City Cinemas 1, 2, 3. And I want to thank the both of you so much for being with us. By the way, in case you didn't get all of that, you can find the theater locations listed on our show page at WNYC.org. Thank you, Joan Rivers. Thank you, Ricky.
Thank you. And tell them about the great reviews again.